Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight, God, for this opportunity to speak your word, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, for the anointing of God to be upon me to speak your word, Lord. And God, your word says, if any man speak, to let him speak as the oracles of God. Lord, your word says, if any of us minister, let us do so as the ability which God gives, Lord. And my God, I just pray that you'd speak to the congregation, Lord. God, I pray, God, that your blessing would be upon your word, Lord. I step out of the way, Lord. And God, I ask you just to speak those words that you would have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a particular verse that's been going over in my mind for quite a while. And it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And certainly, it's a scripture verse that we hear preached about, taught in Bible lessons, Bible classes. But certainly, this is a very popular scripture. And but you know one thing I notice about it? And this is my confession. I never get it right. I'll start it off, and then I'll miss this part of it or that part of it when I try to quote it. But because I have been meditating on it for a couple of weeks, I think I get it all down now. And I've been meditating on that scripture and kind of just breaking it down in my meditation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Who can stand up and quote it from heart? Brother John.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Thank you, Brother John. Now, am I the only one that misses some of that when you talk about it? You miss this part and that part, and I've done it and you've done it. Well, tonight, I hope we don't miss any part of this verse, because I think there's a lot to be said in every word that's in this scripture verse. And I believe this is God's plan for the hour. I believe this is God's blueprint. I believe this is God's master plan. You might say, what does God want in this day and hour? I look at the world and I see a mess. I read the news and I see chaos. I see lawlessness. I see violence. I see people calling good bad and bad good, just like Jesus said it would be. I see it before me. And sometimes I say to myself, I don't know what to think. I just feel sometimes overwhelmed by what I see. I see our country going down the tubes real quick. And we've all been through COVID-19. We've all been through the lockdown. We've all practiced what we're supposed to practice. And we've had to go through things that I've never gone through. You've never gone through. We have never been in a situation where we're locked up in our homes. I'll be 70 in October. I've never been through anything like this in my 70 years on this life. And you say to yourself, if I dwell on the negativity, I'm going to go crazy. If I engross myself in the news day after day, I'm going to be depressed. But can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you whether you want to hear it or not. I've been thinking about this, and I would have to say there's something good that's come out of this mess that our country is in. I would have to say, on a personal note, God is doing something in me to change me. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. I say, you know, what am I going to focus on? Am I going to focus on that? Or am I going to focus on the Lord? Am I going to focus on the promises of God? Am I going to say in my heart, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to focus myself on God bringing a last day revival. That's my focus. And can I tell you something? I'm feeling a lot better. I'm not feeling depressed at all when my focus is on the Lord. I'm not feeling down in the dumps when my focus is on souls being saved. I'm not in a bad frame of mind when I focus on the Lord and what God wants to do in this last day. So can I encourage you tonight to shift your focus? Can I encourage you tonight to shift your focus from doom and gloom, which is there? Trouble is in the world. Chaos is in the world. Lawlessness in the world. Hey, I'm not denying the truth. But I am going to shift my focus, and I would encourage you tonight to say, Lord, what am I to think? Lord, what am I to do in 2020? What do you want me to do? And I believe the Lord would want our focus on Him. I believe the Lord would want us more than ever to say, God, I see the signs of the times being fulfilled around me, but God, hears my voice. Here's my voice, Lord. I'm asking you in this last day to bring a revival. Let's read the scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If. Now, there's things in this scripture I can do. And there's things in this scripture only God can do. Only God can forgive sin. Only the Lord can heal a land. Only God can pour out His Spirit and bring that harvest. I cannot harvest a soul. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. It's His harvest. It's not mine. So in this scripture, God says, and He was speaking to Solomon on this occasion, and He told Solomon, there's things I can do, and there's things that you can do. And I don't know how many thousands of years ago this happened. I don't know how many years God spoke these words to Solomon, but what He spoke back then rings true tonight. July 1st, 2020. The same verse of scripture is applicable to us today, tonight. If my people, that word if is conditional. The Lord says, if you do thus, I will do thus. You know, I can pray. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, I'm a Christian. The song says, I am glad to say I'm one of them. I'm glad to say tonight that Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm glad to tonight that Jesus dwells inside of me. I'm glad to say I'm one of them. That's where my identity is. I'm called by His name. I am a Christian. I have Christ dwelling inside of me. If my people, which are called by my name, what am I going to do, Lord? He said, this is what you can do. He said, you can humble yourself. That's a good word, humble. Did you ever eat humble pie? How many times have you had to eat humble pie in your lifetime? Many times. Many times we've had to eat humble pie. The Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humility is a beautiful thing. Humility is a beautiful, beautiful fruit of the Spirit. It's a beautiful Christian attribute when Christ is lifted up in my life. When you don't see me, my life is hid in Christ. We want something great from God. We want something great from the throne of God. We want to see great things. I want to see great things. I don't want to see little baby things. I'm not asking God for baby things. I'm asking God for great things. The scripture says, come boldly unto that throne of grace. There was a man in the early 1900s. His name was Evan Roberts, and he said to God, God, save Wales. The cry of that revival was, bend the knee and save souls. That's what the Lord gave him. God said to him, you bend your knee. You bend your knee in prayer. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He asked God for 100,000 souls in the early 1900s. And you know what God did? God answered that prayer. 100,000 souls were saved in Wales. He asked boldly. He humbled himself. He bent his knee. What can God do with a surrendered you? What can God do with a surrendered me? I want God to do great things. I don't want him to do little things. I want God to do great things because he is a great God. I want to see a harvest of souls. My focus has gotten more intense. My focus has gotten great, sharper because of what I see going on in the world. It's propelling me. Yes. It's stirring me. It's causing me to say, I'm living in the last days, and I want to see that harvest. God, I want to see you glorified. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I want to lift you up, Jesus. I want to see souls saved. I want to see men and women brought out of darkness into the light. I want to see people have what I have. I want to see souls delivered. I want to see people that are all messed up in sin saved and set free. Those of you that know me, you know I'm a big fan of a certain lady. Anybody remember that lady? Mother Dabney. I'm a big fan of Mother Dabney. I've had this gospel track maybe late 70s, 80s. I've got two or three of tracks, and I have two copies of the same book. And the name of the tract and the name of the book is What It Means to Pray Through. And many years ago when I was living in Boston, one of the brothers gave me the tract and gave me the book. And can I tell you what my reaction was? You got to be kidding me. That lady was way too much. That lady did, she just lived a very extreme life. That's way too much for me. But oh, tonight I wish I was her. Oh, tonight I wish I could achieve what she achieved in prayer. Oh, tonight I wish that Holy Ghost anointing that was upon her would come upon me. She made a vow to the Lord and she said to God, God, I will commit myself to prayer for 3 years. I will pray and go to the church for 3 days out of the week, and I will pray and I will fast and I will seek your face that you would bring a revival to Philadelphia. Evan Roberts' revival took place in the early 1900s. Mother Dabney's prayer ministry and revival happened around 1925. And you know, it's still the same procedure. It's still the same way to get things done. It hasn't changed. Back in Solomon's day, God told Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. The formula, if you want to call it that, the way of getting things done has not changed. It will never change. There is no other master plan. There is no other blueprint. There's no other way of getting the job done by humbling ourselves and praying. Someone said, Mary, well, I pray. I pray God give me traveling mercies when I drive my car. When I eat my breakfast, I pray. When I eat my lunch, I pray. When I eat my supper, I pray. That ain't going to cut it, folks. That ain't getting anything done but blessing your food and getting traveling mercies when you drive in your car. Anybody say amen? What's it going to take? The scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And let's go a little bit deeper in this. Let's take prayer a little bit deeper. And he said, let's pray and seek my face. I was watching Johnny Erickson a couple of weeks ago. And as most of you know, she's a quadriplegic. And she was saying, you know, I love to pray. I'm a person that prays. But she said, I realize I need more prayer in my life. And I realize I need to go deeper in my prayer life. And I need to be more earnest in my prayer to really see the hand of God move. I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. That I need to seek out from God the things of God that only God can bring. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Mother Dabney went to that church. She went to that church. It was in a bad part of town. When she first went to Philadelphia, she looked all around and she said, the only way anybody's going to get saved in this place is through prayer. Where they had their church was a horrible location. And she said, the only thing that's going to change this is that I give myself to prayer. The call of God was upon her. The anointing of God was upon her. The ministry of prayer was upon this lady. She said, God, I give you my time. Can you give God a little bit more? Can you give the Lord a little bit more time? I wish I could do what she did, but I can't do it unless God anoints me to do it. I can give God my time. You can give God your time, but can you give him a little bit more? Can you go beyond praying over your supper? Can you go beyond, now I lay me down to sleep? I sure hope nobody's praying that prayer. I think I prayed it when I was a kid. I'm not a kid any longer. You're not a kid. Can we go beyond a shallow prayer life? Can we all go beyond saying, God, bless me, bless my husband, bless my kids, bless my grandkids? Can we go beyond those shallow prayers? Can we go a little bit deeper in seeking? Can we say, God, I want to give you more. God, I want to give you more of my time. God, I want to give you more of my energy. Ask God. And I know it isn't something you can produce. You can't sit for maybe an hour and pray. I understand that. We all have our limits, as I would say, or maybe we just feel like we've prayed, we can't pray anymore. I understand that. But could you open up your heart and say, God, would you give me a little bit more? God, would you give me a little bit more? God, would you give me a little bit more anointing to pray? I'd rather pray anointed than be dead as a doornail. I like it when the Spirit of God comes upon me to pray, and before you know it, time has gone by like that. I don't like to be dead in my prayers. I don't like to feel like, oh, I wish this would get over with. I like to be anointed by God to pray. When I read that tract, I said, oh, that lady was too much. And oh, God, make me too much. God, make me too much for you. Make me too much for the kingdom of God. This lady moved the hand of God in prayer. I don't know what her husband thought, but I know he wanted his wife praying because results. Results came. Souls started coming into that church. He said, Mother Dabney, her first name was Elizabeth, pray some more. pray us a new building. God bless them with a new, larger building. The Lord gave Mother Dabney a promise. And God said to her, Mother Dabney, everywhere you go, when you pray, I'll respond. Everywhere you go, when you pray for souls to be saved, when you pray for souls to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to see me move. She was committed. She was sold out. She said, when I think, when I'm walking around thinking, when I'm walking around doing my activities, she says, all I hear are the souls of men and women crying to God for help. She says, this is on my mind. This is on my heart. I hear men and women crying in the spirit. I hear souls crying out to God for help. But she paid a price. Are we willing to pay a price? Are we willing to say to God, take me up a little bit higher, Lord? Take me up a little bit higher, Lord, in my prayer life. Anoint me to pray, Lord. Give me a faith to pray. Give me a faith to move your hand in prayer. If my people, are you one of his tonight? Can you say, I'm glad I'm one of them? I'm glad I'm one of them. I'm glad I'm not out in the street hooked on drugs. I'm glad tonight I'm not bound by wicked habits. I'm glad tonight that Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm glad tonight he set me free many years ago. I did not know this, but I got saved in a revival. The reason I knew about it was I was listening to a minister one day on the radio, and he was talking about a revival that came to California. You might have heard of the Jesus people. I guess I was one of them. But anyway, at that particular time, there was a harvest of souls in that California area. I got saved in that revival, although I didn't know a revival was taking place. All I knew was God was dealing with me. Everywhere I went, he sent people to me to tell me I needed to get saved, and I thank God. I thank God I got saved. I thank God that my life has been given to him and to his work. I don't regret my life. I haven't made a lot of money. I haven't become famous. But you know what? I'm a child of God. I know the Savior. I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humility. God, I want to be lowly. I don't want to be lifted up. I want you to be exalted in my life. And I want you to lead this revival. I want him to lead this revival. Because I know when he leads a revival, it's going to be just like the Lord wants it. There's no room for flesh in revival. There's no room for competition in revival. There's no room for who's the top dog. I'm sure, what I say is the absolute truth. I know Brother John and Sister Judy. And I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, they want God to lead this revival. And I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, they're looking to the Lord. They are asking God, you lead this revival. I can't lead a revival. They know they can't lead a revival. Only a revival can be led by the Lord. God, what do we do? God, how do we lead this people? This is a good place to start. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, you're going to love me on this one, if they'll turn from their wicked ways. You got to be kidding me. When he inspired this word, he wasn't writing it to sinners. If my people, you mean God's people can have wicked ways. Oh, that just can't be. God's people are all holy. God's people are 100% sanctified, not according to what God's saying. And I would have to say, if God said it, it must be true. Could we all agree on that? If God said it, I believe it. If my people will humble themselves, pray, and turn from their wicked ways. You mean, Mary? God's people can have wicked ways. Oh, yes, they can. Do you have wicked ways? Do I have wicked ways? How do I know I have wicked ways? Well, a good place to start is pray. Ask the Lord to give Brother John messages that are going to deal with me. You know, sometimes the preacher may not always know who is he touching, who is he speaking to, but Brother John said something Sunday morning, one sentence, but it dealt with me. I said, okay, Lord, I'm hearing you loud and clear. Lord, you're coming on to me and you're saying to me, Mary, I said, okay, Lord, I'm hearing you, Lord. I know that's an area in my life I need to change. The word of God says, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer that's going to break the rock in pieces? Oh, we need God's word. We need God's word to challenge us. We need God's word to tell me what I'm like. I may not like to hear it, but you know what? I may not like to hear it, but you know what I want more? I want revival. I want God to come. I want God to pour out His Spirit. I want a harvest. I want to see God do great and mighty things. But God said, hey, no stone is going to be unturned. We're going to do it right, and we're going to do it my way. I like it. I like it. I love it. I love it God's way. Turn. How do I know I have wicked ways? I can read this book. That's me, Lord. I read that book, and it's telling me, no, Mary, no. And I am a person that goes to the Lord many times, and I say, God, would you make me? God, I want to die. And God gives me plenty of opportunities to die. And I find I can choose the flesh, or I can choose God's way. I have plenty. Do you have plenty of opportunities? Every day, I can get mad. I can get upset. I can give somebody a piece of my mind. Or I can say, I die, Lord. God, slay me. God, slay this old flesh. Because I know, Lord, good things are coming. I want to do it because you want me to do it. But I know, Lord, that's going to bring me in to what you have for my life. What would God do with a person full of self if he poured out his spirit in a great way? It ain't working. It ain't working. God is not going to do great things amongst fleshly people. All he would have would be one big mess. If it's going to be done, it's going to be done God's way. Do you agree, Brother John? 110%? 190%. He agrees with me. I know he would. But if we're going to have something done, it's going to be done God's way. No other way. You mean I can't do this and I can't do that? No. I think this is a good idea. No, it's not a good idea. If it's going to be done, it's going to be done God's way. I'm going to humble my heart before the Lord, and I'm going to say to God, God, what's in me? What's in me, Lord? The psalmist said one day, search me, O Lord. And do you know the scriptures also say something? I just happen to know what the scripture says on this one. The pride of my heart deceives me. That's what Obadiah said. The pride of my heart can deceive me. Well, I think I'm doing good, Mary. And God says, no, you stink. God says, no, you have some wicked ways in you. God says, I want to change you. I want to make you. And let me make you. I want God to make me. I want God to take what's wrong and make it right. I want to be a vessel of honor unto Him. And I want to be what He wants me to be. I want to be a part of this revival. I don't know. I have an inkling it's probably having a real prayer ministry. I believe that's part of the call of God in my life. And I want God to bring me into it more than He ever has. But in my heart, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to die. I want to die to self. That there's no other plan for my life. There's no other agenda for my life except what He has. Hey, time is short. We don't have a whole lot of time in this earth. And you know, I read the back of the book, and the book says, I win. Christians win. But before the ending, there's a lot before that. There's God's wrath coming upon this world. This world is not getting any better. This world is facing the pending judgment of God. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. I know that. But yet I say to God, God, bring a revival. Lord, bring an awakening. See, sleeping people need to be awakened, don't they? There's a lot of sleeping people that need to be awakened. God, we need an awakening. We need something great. We need something from the throne of God that only You can bring. Only You can bring. And Lord, I humble myself under Your mighty hand. I humble my heart before You. I seek Your face, Lord, to rid me of every wicked way. Lord, I ask You, when the message comes from that pulpit, God, You will speak to me. You will speak words to me that's going to chasten me. It's okay, Lord. You can chasten me. And Lord, maybe sometimes I need a good old-fashioned whipping. Maybe sometimes You need to take me out to the woodshed and give me a whipping. And it's okay, Lord. It's okay that You whip my flesh. It's okay, Lord. Because I know I'm going to come forth and be what You want me to be. Another woman in the Bible. You might say, Mary, don't you favor women? But there's a lady in the Bible. There's only 3 verses spoken of this lady. Who is she? 3 verses. New Testament, the book of Luke. Anna. I'm just partial to ladies. That's all I can say. You know? They say behind every great man is a greater woman. That's what they say. But we know, ladies, it's the truth. Brother Boggs, is that the truth? I knew Brother Boggs would agree with me. Behind every great man is a woman. You got to watch these women. They're powerful. They're mighty. Anna. She got married. 7 years into her marriage, she became a widow. She wound up living in the temple, praying and fasting. Brother Boggs and Sister Boggs live in the temple. They live in the church. And they give themselves to the Lord 100%. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Don't we love Brother Boggs and Sister Boggs? Aren't they a blessing? Aren't they just wonderful to have here? They're wonderful people, good people. We love you. We're thankful that you're here. Back to Anna. My lady Anna. She's 85 years old. Anna ain't sitting in a rocking chair. Someone said, I'm getting old. We're all getting old. Anybody not getting old? I'm getting old. You're getting old. Anna's 85 years old. And she ain't sitting in no rocking chair in the temple. She's up and she's praying. And she's a prophetess. And she's prophesying of the coming of the Lord. She prophesied and said, one day every prophecy is going to be fulfilled. She prophesied to Israel and said, one day those prophecies of the coming Messiah are going to take place. There is coming into Israel a Savior of the world. There is coming to us someone that will bring redemption to Israel. And one day, lo and behold, she saw the prophecy fulfilled. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, and the Bible says she wasn't off somewhere taking a little nap. She wasn't off someplace talking to somebody in the temple, but when Jesus and Mary and Joseph were there, in that instant, she came where Jesus was. And she knew in her heart, this is He. This is the one that the prophets spoke about. This is the one the prophets spoke of that would come and bring redemption. This is He. She raised her hand in thanksgiving. She raised her hand in praise. She was given to prayer and fasting. What you sow, you're going to reap. She sowed much in prayer, and she reaped the knowledge, this is He. The religious leaders of the time, they didn't know that. John the Baptist didn't always know it. He was insecure. He said, are you really the one that's come? He spoke of Jesus. Sometimes he was faced with insecurity. Anna said, this is it. This is the one. This is Jesus. God rewarded her prayers. The scripture says when we sow in tears, we're going to reap. What does it say? We're going to reap in joy. Saints, we got to do some sowing. We got to do some sowing. We got to do some prayer. And you know, I can't make you a prayer warrior, but God can. I can't make you a person that just loves to pray, but God can. I'll tell you a little bit more about Mother Dabney. I'm Mother Dabney expert. But anyway, Mother Dabney grew up in a Christian home. And she said in that Christian home, there was always a prayer altar. She had a good influence in her life when she was a child. And that carried her all the way into adulthood. That good influence of a praying mom. You know, in my own Christian walk, I like to give credit where credit is due. And I'd like to call this man someday and tell him, Brother Jim, you helped me in my early walk. And I'd like to do that someday. But when I was in Bible school, I had a Bible school teacher that I really loved, and it was Brother Jim. And one thing Brother Jim always talked to us about is developing a prayer life. And I think of anything in his classes, the thing that always stood with me was pray, develop a prayer life. And that's how I started a prayer life, by somebody mentoring me, somebody talking to me in class about it. And you know, one day I was talking to Sister Laura, and I don't say this to boast. It's to prove a point or bring out a point. One day I was talking to Sister Laura, and she said, Mary, you know, when you first came to the Bible school, she said, I never really had much of a prayer life. And she said, you know, you came to Bible school, and one thing I noticed about you, you always went someplace to pray. And she said, because of that, she said, that helped me to develop a prayer life. I never knew this till years later. But I say all that to say this, you know, by our example, we can help somebody else. by me praying, by you praying. Maybe you can just help somebody just getting started, or maybe someone that doesn't have much of a prayer life, but they want to. You can mentor them and help them to get into that flow of prayer. But saints of God, it's an old message. I didn't bring you anything new. I didn't have a new message tonight. I'm just kind of an old-fashioned person. I like the old-fashioned way. I'm not looking for anything new. I'm not looking for anything that sounds great and fascinating and interesting and wow. I just wanted to do it the old way. I wanted to do God's way. The early church was an early church of what would you say? Prayer. The early church was birthed in prayer. About 120 people were gathered in an upper room praying, seeking God. The early church was founded on prayer. We're the last day church. We're the last day church. And the last day church also needs to be founded in prayer. Can you just pray? Can you just say to Lord God, I want to be a vessel. And you may pray for 15 minutes and that's all you can do. Fine. I'm not putting a demand on anybody. I'm not saying that we can all be Mother Dabney. But I am saying this. Let's pray for more. Let's stir our hearts. Let's allow God to stir us up anew and afresh. Let's ask God, God, make me to really be a woman of prayer. Make me to be a man of prayer. Make us to be a church of prayer. God, that we humble ourselves before your mighty hand. And God, we're asking for great things. And we know, God, those great things, you're not going to give it to people that aren't interested. Prayer shows God, I'm interested. Prayer shows God, I'm interested. God, I'm interested in this revival. God, I'm interested. I'm not disinterested, Lord. I'm not disinterested in what you have to do. I'm very, very interested. I'm very, very interested in seeing an awakening. I'm very, very interested in seeing Christians wake up out of sleep. I'm very interested in seeing us on fire for God. I'm very interested in all that. My prayers tell God that. Every time I pray about it, God says, she's interested. She's interested. That church is interested. And you know, can I tell you something? It's not a waste of time. Oh, no, it's not. My lady friend, Mother Dabney, her husband had a great harvest of souls in his church. There was an evangelist that was out in California, I believe. He said, Mother Dabney, will you come? Mother Dabney, I'm in revival and nothing's happened. Mother Dabney, will you come? Mother Dabney, will you come and pray the prayer of faith? Mother Dabney, will you come? She came and God moved. What can I say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Anna prayed. She had a revelation of Jesus Christ. The early church prayed and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking tongues. Don't let the devil tell you that our prayers don't count. Don't let the devil say to you, why bother? Don't let the devil say to you, it doesn't matter. He's a liar. He ain't going to tell you the truth. Just keep on going. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on looking to God to do what God really wants to do. You're not asking God to do what he doesn't want to do. If we're asking God to do something he doesn't want to do, we'd be wasting our time. But when I ask for souls, God says, I want to do that. When I want God to bring deliverance to men and women, God says, I want to do that too. Pray, saints. Pray, saints. Pray some more. Keep on keeping on and asking God to move in this last day to bring that outpouring of his spirit with that harvest of soul. Brother Daly asked God many years ago for revival, and God gave him that promise for this church. He said, I promise you a great outpouring of my spirit in that place with the harvest of souls. He died. He went on to glory. I still think about that. We still talk about that. I have not forgotten that promise. Pray. Seek. Knock. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I am done.
And God said, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen.